The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Zach Stroma.
Sanity of Inspector Weymouth and the burning to death of Fu Manchu, Nayland Smith is sent by his chief to the hotel of Sir Gregory Hale, erstwhile attaché to the British Embassy at Pekin, and to receive from him a report on the Mongolian frontier. Smith, accompanied by Dr. Petrie, discovers Sir Gregory at the point of death. Unable to speak, Sir Gregory scribbles a few words in Smith's notebook before he dies. The paper reads, "Guard my diary. Watch Tibet and the Sea Fan. And beware the man with the limp."
As usual, Petrie, we're in too late. 10 minutes earlier, and we might have saved Sir Gregory Hale's life.
Beware the man with the limp. The Sea Fan. The sitting room.
Come on. Lights, Petrie. Find the lights. He went out that door. Oh, blast it.
There he goes. Down the end of the corridor. I'll get him.
Look. That small brass chest. He left it there for me to fall over. An old trick, but effective.
He got away, sir.
Hmm?
Disappeared. When I got to the corner, he was gone. The chest. That's what he was after. Oh, thank heaven you were too quick for him.
What about the chest?
Sir Gregory brought it to England with him. He's been guarding it for the past week, night and day, with a loaded pistol.
Put it on the table. You know, Beatson, what it contained?
No, sir. Every night he lay with his head on it. During the day, he never took his eyes from it.
Now close the door, Petrie. He didn't tell you, Beatson, what was in that chest? He said nothing?
He'd cry out in the dead of the night, "Beatson, do you hear that woman?" And then he was constantly listening for someone to be called the man with the limp.
The man with the limp?
He'd have me up with him during the night, listening with him. "There he goes," he whispered, with his ear close to the door.
Has he had any visitors?
None, sir. He said that he'd seen no one but a Mr. Nyland Smith. He said Mr. Smith was the only man he could trust.
You've gone through a trying ordeal, old man. No one could have done his duty better. This gentleman is Nayland Smith.
Oh, thank heaven you've come, sir.
Whatever can be done to carry out your master's wishes shall be done. Go into your room now and lie down until we call you. You need the rest.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir. Thank you.
Petrie, I want you to examine the body of Sir Gregory. Determine the cause of death if you can. I'll go over things out here. Let me know if you find anything.
The bed. Did it mean anything?
What is it?
A flower. It's bruised, but fresh. Couldn't have been in the room very long. What's the matter?
Put that thing down, Petrie. On the table.
Well, of course, but
you didn't break that stalk?
No, I found it just as you see it.
Have you smelled the petals?
No, I intended...
Don't do it! Pronounce slowly the word Sakya Muni.
What in the name of...
I mean it. Do as I tell you.
Of course, Sakya Muni.
Phew. All right. I'll go and wash your hands thoroughly. There, in the bathroom. Beetson, go on, Petrie, wash your hands. Have any flowers been brought into this room today?
Flowers? No, sir.
You were certain of that?
Positive.
Who brought up the meals?
No one, sir. There's enough tinned and bottled food here, sir, to last for weeks. I got it the day we arrived. No one has entered or left these rooms until you came tonight.
Excepting yourself?
Excepting myself, sir.
Then how in the world... You washed your hands, Petrie, thoroughly?
Of course, but why...
Later, old chap, later. Do me a favor now. Telephone down to the manager and ask him to come up at once. Then call Weymouth. But not a word to either of what's happened here.
Oh, well. Telephone seems to be out of order.
Oh.
Well, I'll go down to the lobby.
Righto, and hurry. Beetson, go with him.
Yes, sir. The elevator, Dr. Petrie, is around the corner, the far end of the corridor.
Wait. Listen.
That's tapping. Yes, sir. We heard it often, sir, passing our door.
Seems to come from down the corridor, around the corner. Let's see who it is. Come.
That door. Just closing. You went in there.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Well, what do you want? Go away, this private room.
There's someone in here I wish to see.
You see nobody. Go away.
Well, that's that, Beecham. Well, come on. Let's go on to the lobby. This hotel must cater to Orientals, eh?
Oh, of course, sir. I've seen many like their niece.
Have you seen this particular one during your stay at the hotel?
No, sir.
Well, hope she doesn't report this to the management. Well, you'd better go back to the room.
I'll make the phone call and join you. So distinguished a guest as Sir Gregory should have chosen the new Louvre as a place to terminate his career. I hope you'll keep it as quiet as possible.
I'll do what I can. Oh, well, by the way, you have Oriental guests with you?
None at the moment, sir.
Oh, not a certain Oriental lady?
No, sir. You have likely seen one of the Ayas. There are several Anglo-Indian families here.
Very well. The authorities will be here presently to take over. I'll see they cause as little fuss as possible.
Thank you.
I'm positive, Nayland, that the man with the limp was in that room. The woman acted frightened, guilty.
Perhaps he was, Petrie. However, we're not dealing with Fu Manchu now, but an entirely unknown quantity. The Sea Fan.
Just what the devil is the Sea Fan?
The greatest mystery of the mysterious East. We know that Fu Manchu was in England, paving the way for a vast empire. An empire the rest of the world terms a peril. Well, such an empire must have...
An emperor.
Why not an empress?
Oh, the lowly place held by women of the East.
I can cite notable exceptions, both ancient and modern. However, a moment's consideration will disclose many advantages in the creation by a hypothetical group of an empress.
Well, I don't follow. I should think a man
would... Now, wait.
Would...
There's a persistent tradition throughout the East that such a woman will one day rule over the world.
Oh, legend, a superstition.
I was assured some years ago by a learned pundit, a sort of Buddhist prophet, that a princess of very ancient lineage living in some secret monastery of Tibet was to be the future empress of the known world.
And you believe that?
I believe this tradition, or the group who seek to keep it alive, to be what is called the Sea Fan. Some of what I've told you is legendary and some superstition. But part of it is true.
Come, old man, really now, you're joking.
By no means. And Hale blundered into this giant conspiracy, in which I'm certain Fu Manchu had a hand. And in that brass chest is something indispensable to the success of this vast movement.
Then he was followed to this very hotel by agents of that group?
Rather evident, isn't it?
Hmm. You're going to open the chest?
Decidedly not. Hale's fate is warning enough for me to keep away from it. Since I was with him when he died, they don't know how much I know.
You have some idea how he died?
The Flower of Silence. You found it. That thing on the table.
You call it the Flower of Silence, then you must know it.
I ran across it once, in Upper Burma. A Tibetan monk died mysteriously, inarticulate. The native who took me to him saw in the monk's hand a crumpled flower. He bolted, screaming, "The Flower of Silence, the Sea Fan."
Now, how does the poison enter the circulation?
A hollow thorn among the petals. How it functions, I don't know. But I extracted enough poison from the petals to kill a dozen men.
Oh. Well, why, Nayland, did you have me repeat the words, Sakyamuni,
From the pundit I mentioned, I learned the Flower of Silence was used by a certain group. He said that, according to some authorities, one who had touched it might escape death by immediately pronouncing the sacred name of Buddha.
Magic, Nayland. Bit out of date in this day and age, eh?
The pundit was no fanatic. You see, he explained that no one who had been poisoned by the flower could correctly pronounce the word Sakyamuni.
Oh, I see. Since the effect of the flower is to instantly tie the tongue, I suppose the pronouncing of the name of Buddha becomes a test whereby the victim may learn if the poison has entered his system, eh?
Exactly.
Hmm. Then, Nayland, it behooves us to be doubly on our guard. Unless I'm very much mistaken, the man who mysteriously entered these rooms in search of that chest and the woman I saw are one and the same.
What gives you that impression?
The glimpse I caught of the fellow as he went through that door. Well, he was small, and the woman's face seemed familiar.
And at least two of the Oriental group are here in the hotel. The woman and the man with the limp. We'll guard the chest, turn and turn about tonight, old chap. You take the first watch. Wake me at 4 a.m. And remember, we must not doze.
Joe, strange tapping again. The floor above.
Nayland, it's 4:00. Nayland.
Great Scott! Nayland, wake up!
Aaron, briefing. Well, what's happened?
Quick, get out of the way.
What's the matter, old man?
Matter enough. This light fixture, it was hanging within an inch of your face. Look, fasten to the edge of it.
Power of silence. Good heavens.
Someone has been at work on the floor of the room above the bedroom. They fastened the flower to the fixture and let it down, and you would have tried to brush the thing away.
Ah. Now I see how the thing was introduced into Hale's room. By the light fixture over the bed. Sakyamuni. Sakyamuni.
Oh, thank heaven I saw it in time. Say, listen. We shan't miss him this time. Come on, Nayland.
No. There are times when prudence is the better part of valor. Neither of us must leave this room tonight.
Two.